Good evening, church.
I read you from Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 17, the whole chapter, and then we look into verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, you are the sovereign of the universe, God Almighty, and yet you are our loving Heavenly Father. We come before your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord, for access to your throne room, all because of the finished work that was done for us on the cross on Calvary. We thank you for sending your Son into this world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for leaving glory for us, coming into this world, taking upon yourself a human body, and shedding your blood on the cross, including us in your death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation, and raising us up and seating us with you. You indeed are seated far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named in this age and the age to come. We thank you, O blessed Lord, that you have raised us up and we are seated with you, for our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We thank you, for we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. You're made as heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, and you are the Lord who's written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you that no one can snatch us out of your hands. Thank you, blessed Lord, that you've come to dwell in us by your Spirit. And we thank you that your Spirit leads us into all truth. We thank you for your holy word that we can meditate upon. And even as we look into the pages of your word this evening, open our eyes, that we would perceive wonderful truths out of your holy law. Write your word upon our minds, upon our hearts. We do not want to hear the voice of man. We want to hear you speaking to us. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7, we hear of the seals and the sealed. The seals and the sealed. Now, we have studied Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And the worship described in Revelation chapter 4 and 5 is preparation for the wrath that is described in Revelation chapter 6 right up to chapter 19. Revelation 6 right up to Revelation 19. All these chapters describe the wrath of God. And before we look into the wrath that is described, the wrath of God that is described in Revelation 6 to 19, we have seen what goes on in heaven, the worship that goes on in heaven in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Now, it may seem strange to us that worship and judgment should go together. But this is because we do not fully understand either the holiness of God or the sinfulness of man, nor do we grasp the total picture of what God wants to accomplish and how the forces of evil have opposed it. God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering, but eventually he has to judge sin. He will judge sin and he will vindicate his servants. Now, before we proceed, let's look at the outline of the book of Revelation. We have seen this earlier. The outline of Revelation, the key theme is Jesus Christ, the victor. Jesus Christ, the victor. And the key verses are Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, and Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Revelation 1:19 speaks of the things which you have seen. In fact, it gives you a basic outline of the entire book, Revelation 1, verse 19. The things which you have seen, that's what we see in chapter 1 in Revelation. John's vision of Jesus exalted, Christ exalted. Then the things which are in chapters 2 and 3, the letters, the messages to the seven churches that we have already studied in chapters 2 and 3. Then the things which shall be hereafter from chapter 4 right up to the end of the book, right up to the end of the book, chapter 22, chapter 4 to chapter 22, the things which shall be hereafter. First, the throne in heaven, chapters 4 and 5, where worship is going on all the time. And then the tribulation on earth, chapter 6 to 19. The first half of the tribulation you find in chapter 6 to chapter 9. The middle of the tribulation you find in chapter 10 to chapter 14. And the last half of the tribulation in chapter 15 to chapter 19. Then we see the kingdom of Christ in chapter 20, the millennial kingdom. And then we have the new heavens and the new earth in chapter 21 to 22. So this is the basic outline, a very simple outline of Revelation. We are now studying Revelation chapter 6. And we've read the whole chapter, but the focus of our study will be only up to verse 8. Tribulation is the wrath of God which falls upon the world, because God is a just God, and God has not appointed his children to wrath. That means God rescues his children from his wrath to come. Tribulation is not the same as persecution. Children of God will go through persecution, and some will be martyred. Many are martyred even today. Tribulation is the wrath of God. It's not persecution. Tribulation is the wrath of God falling upon the earth. The church has gone through persecution and the church will continue to go through persecution. But tribulation is God's wrath falling upon the earth. God delivers the church from tribulation. He delivers his church from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 9 to 10. For God did not appoint us, meaning his children, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So God has appointed that we, whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, that we should continually live with him. Now it is significant that there is no mention of the word church between Revelation chapter 3 verse 22 and Revelation chapter 22 verse 16. You don't find the word church. So, after the church is raptured, the events depicted in Revelation chapter 6 right up to chapter 19 will occur. The tribulation will begin. It will begin with the rise of the man of sin, the Antichrist. And then the great tribulation, the wrath of God, and then the destruction of man-made world government will take place. And then Christ will return to the earth and he will set up his kingdom, the millennial kingdom. Now Daniel indicates that this period of worldwide tribulation will last 7 years. Let's just review what we have learned earlier. Daniel's prophetic 70 weeks began with a decree to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And that decree was issued by the Persian king Artaxerxes in 445 BC. We read of it in Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 5 to 8. The angel Gabriel tells Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 to 25, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, meaning the Jews, Daniel's people, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now these are weeks of years. 1 week is 7 years. 70 weeks are 490 years. And these 490 years are divided into three significant periods: 49 years, 434 years, and the 7 years. So the 7 weeks in Daniel 9 verse 25, they are the 49 years. And this is the time of the closing of Nehemiah's career in the rebuilding of the street and wall of Jerusalem. And during this period, the Jews rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. In troubled times, they rebuilt the city. And this is also the end of the ministry of Malachi and the close of the Old Testament. Then we have the 62 weeks. 62 weeks is an additional 434 more years. And Gabriel affirmed that 483 years are involved, from the giving of the decree to the coming of the Anointed One, unto the Messiah, the Prince. So you have 7 into 7, which is equal to 49, 7 into 62, which is equal to 434, and the total is 483. So a total of 483, 49 plus 434, 483 years to the first advent of the Messiah. And this was fulfilled in the triumphal entry of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, into Jerusalem. Now this date of entry of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on Sunday, 9th of Nisan,
AD 30, exactly 483 years after the decree of Artaxerxes mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 25. And this is the day that is celebrated as Palm Sunday. Now, after these 62 weeks, it was prophesied that the Messiah will be cut off. And this refers to his death. Daniel chapter 9 verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now notice, and the people of the prince that shall come. Who are those people? The Roman people from whom the Antichrist will ultimately come. What will he do? He will destroy the city of Jerusalem and its temple. The people mentioned are the Roman people whom the Antichrist will ultimately come from. What will these people do, the Romans? They will destroy the temple in Jerusalem. And that happened in AD 70 when Titus, the Roman general who became emperor of Rome, he succeeded his father Vespasian. In AD 70, he destroyed the temple. Now, between the 69th and the 70th week, is the present church age. And it will climax in the rapture of the church. And then we read of the last 7 years of the 70th week of the time of the Antichrist. And Daniel indicates that this period of worldwide trouble, tribulation, will last 7 years. The last 7 years. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst, that is the people of the prince that shall come, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The prince, that is the Antichrist, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. According to Daniel 9:27, 7 years are assigned to Israel in God's prophetic calendar, beginning with the signing of the agreement. The signing of an agreement with the world dictator, the Antichrist, and ending with Christ's return to judge evil and establish his kingdom. 7 years. 7 years are assigned to Israel in God's prophetic calendar, beginning with the signing of an agreement with the world dictator, the Antichrist, and ending with Christ's return to earth to judge evil and establish his kingdom. It is this period that is described in Revelation chapter 6, right up to Revelation chapter 19. John's outline of the tribulation on earth is in three parts. We have seen this a little earlier, but I'll share in more detail. The first 3.5 years of tribulation is described in Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 9. Then the events that take place at the middle of the period of tribulation is described in Revelation chapter 10 to chapter 14. And the last 3.5 years of tribulation is described in Revelation chapter 15 to chapter 19. So our study in the days to come is going to be on tribulation from chapter 6 to chapter 19. Now, what is so significant about the middle of the tribulation? What happens in the middle of these 7 years? That is when the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel and he will become their persecutor instead of their protector. They will be deceived by the Antichrist. He'll come as a peacemaker, and that's what everyone is looking for now in the Middle East, in the world today. Everyone is looking for a peacemaker, and he will come. He will come and he will make peace, and Israel will be deceived by him. At the middle of the tribulation, he will
they will recognize that he is not the one, he is not someone who has come to make peace. He will begin to persecute rather than protect Israel. Daniel 9 verse 27, I read to you again. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the sacrifice to occur, the temple has to be rebuilt. Alright. So, what will he do? He will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, we'll study all these things in detail later on. But it's important to understand the significance of the middle of the tribulation. And that's when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel and he becomes their persecutor instead of their protector. And as we study these 14 action-packed chapters, Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19, 14 action-filled chapters, we must never forget, John writes all of this for what? He writes all of this to encourage God's people who are going through, in every age of history, people who are going through trouble, trial. Now, he is not only writing prophecy that will be fulfilled in the end time, but he is also writing great theology and dramatically revealing the character of God, who this God is whom we worship. And he's also revealing the principles of God's kingdom. Now, these chapters, Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19, they describe the cosmic conflict between God and Satan, the New Jerusalem and Babylon. And no matter what key a student may use to unlock Revelation, you cannot but help see Christ exalted. You cannot but help see Christ exalted, the King of Kings, as he vindicates his people and he gives victory to his overcomers. Now, since the church never knows when Christ will return, each generation must live in expectancy of the coming of the Lord. That's what we're called to do. Not speculate as to when he's going to come, but we must live knowing that he can come at any time. And we must live in expectancy of his coming. Therefore, the book of Revelation communicates truth to each generation, not just to the people who will be alive when these events occur. Verses like Revelation chapter 13 verse 9, Revelation 16 verse 15, Revelation 22 verse 7, Revelation 22 verse 18 to 20. All of these verses indicate the timelessness of John's message. I'll just read to you these verses. Revelation 13 verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. That's a timeless message. Revelation 16 verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Again, a timeless message. Revelation 22 verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22 verses 18 to 20. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. So all these verses indicate the timelessness of John's message. And this also explains why the Apostle John used so much of symbolism. Because symbols never lose their meaning. Symbols never lose their meaning. In every era of history, the people of God have had to contend with Babylon, the world system. Revelation 18 verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. You look at the Old Testament, you find Israel and conflict with Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 50 verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard, proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces. The church in every era of its history has had to contend not only with Babylon, but also with the Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 18 we read, little children, John is writing, little children, it is the last hour. Remember, he wrote this 2000 years ago. And he says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19 is merely the climax of this conflict, this cosmic conflict. In Revelation chapter 6 and 7, Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7, John characterized the opening days of the tribulation, and he characterizes the opening days of the tribulation as a time of retribution, a time of response, and a time of redemption. Retribution is seen in Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 to 8. Response in Revelation chapter 6 verses 9 to 17, and redemption in Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. And this is how John characterized the opening days of the tribulation. Today we will just look at verses 1 to 8, and I read to you again Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 to 8. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now, in this section, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, John recorded the opening of the first four seals. And each seal was, and as each seal was opened, one of the four living creatures summons a rider on a horse and says, come and see. Come and see should read come. In other words, events take place on earth because of the sovereign direction of God in heaven. Nothing happens on planet earth without the knowledge of God. Every minute detail of what is going to happen happens because of the sovereign direction of God in heaven. The horse imagery, you see, which we just now read, horse. That imagery is probably related to the vision described in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 1, verses 7 to 17, we read, on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow, and behind him were horses, red, sorrel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? My Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah?
against which you were angry these 70 years. Remember, this is the message that was given when they are in captivity in Babylon. And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease, for I was a little angry and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And that happened. That happened. Under Ezra. And then the city was built. The walls of the city were built under Nehemiah. I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And the surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Now, horses represent God's activity on earth. The forces that he uses to accomplish his divine purposes. And the center of God's program is Israel. Let's not forget that. The center of God's program is Israel, particularly the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is mentioned 39 times in Zechariah. 39 times in Zechariah. God has a covenant purpose for Israel, and that purpose will be fulfilled just as he promised. Now let's try to identify these horses and their riders in Revelation chapter 6. These horses and their riders. First we see the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Now I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, we read earlier that Daniel states that there is a prince that shall come. The prince that shall come. And the people of the prince that shall come is the Roman people. And from them will come this prince. What will he do? He will make a covenant with Israel to protect her from her enemies. Daniel chapter 9 verse 26 and 27 I read now from the New King James Version. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary that took place in AD 70. The end of it shall be with a flood. And till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. In other words, the future world dictator, how does he begin? How does the Antichrist begin his career? He begins as a peacemaker. And he will go from victory to victory, and finally he'll control the whole world. Now some have suggested that the rider on the white horse here in Revelation chapter 6, some have suggested the rider on the white horse is the Lord Jesus Christ. A symbol of the conquering Christ who today is defeating the forces of evil in the world. And they point to Revelation chapter 19 verse 11 as proof. But you find that the only similarity is the presence of a white horse. That's all. Revelation 19 verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now if this rider in Revelation chapter 6 verse 2. If the rider in Revelation chapter 6 verse 2 is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems strange that he should be named at the end of the book, not at the beginning. Because it's in Revelation 19 verse 11 that you have the name, faithful and true. not in Revelation 6:2. Now, we would expect the Antichrist to resemble the Christ, because Antichrist is Satan's great imitation. Even the Jews, who actually should know the scriptures, they will be deceived by him, by the Antichrist. And Jesus said that very clearly to them. Jesus told them in John chapter 5 verse 43, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. Remember, in John chapter 1 we read, he came to his own, but his own received him not. John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Who's that? The Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 12. Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. What is restraining? We being here on planet Earth, the church, and the Holy Spirit working through us. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. And that will happen when the Lord Jesus comes. Second part of the second coming. The first part is the rapture. The second part of the second coming is when he will come and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives after the tribulation. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. That's exactly what will happen to Israel. They'll believe the lie of the Antichrist, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, this great deceiver, the Antichrist, he'll come as a peaceful leader, holding a bow. In Revelation 6 verse 2, he has a bow but no arrows. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now the weapon that our Lord Jesus has is a sword. Revelation 19 verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now the Antichrist will come. He'll come as a peacemaker. And what will he do? He will solve all the world's problems. And he will be received as a great liberator. Now you find here in Revelation chapter 6 verse 2, he has a crown. And the word for crown that is used there in Revelation 6:2 is the word Stephanos. And Stephanos is the victor's crown. The victor's crown. But the crown that the Lord Jesus Christ wears is diadema. Diadema. That's the kingly crown. Revelation 19 verse 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. You read the NASV, you find diadems. Here a
name written, he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Now Antichrist could never wear the diadema because it belongs only to the Son of God. It belongs only to the Son of God. Certainly, there is a sense in which Jesus Christ is conquering today. That's true. He's releasing people out of bondage to sin and Satan, and releasing them from the powers of the enemy and from the bondages of sickness and disease. He's delivering his people, Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But this conquest began when? It began with his victory on the cross. And certainly did not have to wait for the opening of a seal. So the rider on the white horse is not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Antichrist. And we shall note later in our next study the sequence of events in Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 to 17. It closely parallels the sequence that is given by our Lord Jesus in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24. And the first item that is mentioned there is the appearance of false Christ. In Matthew 24 verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Then the next thing that we see is war. Revelation chapter 6 verses 3 to 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. The conquest of the Antichrist begins in peace, but soon what will happen? He will exchange that empty bow for a sword. And the color red is often associated with terror, with death. The red dragon, Revelation chapter 12 verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his heads. The red beast, Revelation chapter 17 verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The red dragon, the red beast. It's a picture of bloodshed, malicious bloodshed, war. War has been a part of man's experience since the time Cain killed Abel. And so this image would speak to believers in every age, reminding us that God is ultimately in control. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but don't forget who's on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he is not responsible for the lawless deeds of men and nations, never forget he is on the throne and he is the one in sovereign control. No matter what you see and hear of all that is going around in this world. Then we see the famine in Revelation chapter 6 verses 5 to 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now the color black is often connected with famine. In Jeremiah chapter 14 verse 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. This is after the conquest, after Babylon invades Judah. Lamentation chapter 5 verse 10. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. So famine and war, they go together. And a shortage of food will always drive up the prices, and it will force the government to ration whatever is available. So to eat bread by weight, that is a Jewish phrase, indicating that food is scarce. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 26. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, denarius. New King James Version says denarius. And three measures of barley for a penny, again denarius. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. A penny or a denarius a day, that was a standard wage for laborers. Matthew chapter 20 verse 2, remember, the denarius, the wage for a laborer. But of course, it had much greater buying power than the common penny does today. A measure of wheat was about 2 pints, sufficient for the daily needs of one person. And ordinarily, a person could buy 8 to 12 measures for a penny, and much more of barley, which was the cheaper grain. But during the tribulation, a man will have to work all day just to secure food for himself. There will be nothing for his family. At the same time, the rich will be enjoying plenty of oil and wine. Revelation 6:6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, denarius, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So the rich will be enjoying plenty of oil and wine, because the Antichrist will eventually be able to control the economy of the world. First he promises to feed the hungry, the masses. But you will find the rich become richer, the poor become poorer. We see that happening in our nation also. Revelation chapter 13 verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So that's what's going to be like in the future. Do you know something interesting that's taking place? You've probably noticed it. You will soon be known by only a number. Names are going to become meaningless. You will soon be known by a number. God forbid that we should remain here when all this happens, trusting that He is going to come very soon. Yes, before the wrath of God falls upon this world. We see death. The next thing we see is death. Revelation chapter 6 verses 7 to 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, and hunger with death, and by the beasts of the earth. John saw two VIPs, so to speak, personages. He saw Death riding a pale horse, and he saw Hades, the realm of the dead, following him. Jesus Christ has the keys of death and Hades. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So both death and Hades will one day be cast into hell. Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, death claims the body. Hades claims the soul of the dead. Revelation 20 verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. John saw these enemies going forth to claim their prey, armed with weapons. How? Sword, hunger, pestilence, death, and wild beasts. Weapons of the sword. Weapons of the sword, hunger, pestilence, death, wild beast. Revelation 6 verse 8. So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was death and Hades. Followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now in ancient times, hunger, pestilence, and the ravages of beasts would be expected to accompany war. Jeremiah 15 verse 2. And it shall be, if they say to you, where should we go? Then you shall tell them, thus says the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. Jeremiah 24 verse 10, and I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. Ezekiel 14 verse 21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and famine and wild beast and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. Conquering tyrants who bring the world, they bring war in this world, they bring famine, pestilence. All this is certainly not something new. In fact, we are seeing it happening right in front of our eyes in Ukraine. We see it happening in the Middle East, and we see it happening right now in Syria. What will happen during the tribulation? The intensity of all this will increase. Once the church is raptured and the tribulation begins, the intensity of all this will increase. The Antichrist will appear and the intensity will increase. Suffering people from the days of the Roman Empire to the most recent war, they can easily recognize the anticipations of these four horsemen, dreaded horsemen. And that's why I believe the book of Revelation has been a source of encouragement. Suffering believers all throughout history, as they read this book, they're encouraged because they see the Lamb opening the seals. No one else was opening the seals, but the Lamb opening the seals. The one who was slain before the foundation of the world was laid. He is the one who opens the seals. And they realize that God is in control. And this is something that we must grasp. No matter what trouble we go through, no matter what the situation around us may be, we must never forget the fact that Jesus Christ is seated on the throne. And He is in control. And nothing happens in our lives or outside of our lives, whatever it may be, nothing happens outside of His control. And that is what will encourage you as you go through times of suffering. As these people, suffering saints, see the Lamb opening the seals, they are comforted. Because they realize God is in control. His purposes are going to be accomplished. His purposes will be accomplished. Yes. That's why this book is a blessing. When you know who He is, whom we worship, remember chapter 4, we worship Him because He is our Creator. Chapter 5, we worship Him because He is our Redeemer. When we know whom we worship, and the one whom we worship is the one who is the Creator, the Redeemer, and the one who controls all things. Satan is only a creature, created creature, fallen of course. But the one who's in control is the Lord Jesus Himself, the Lamb. He is the one who opens the seals. And God is in control and His purposes will be accomplished. Yes, God is in control and His purposes will be accomplished. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Abby, will you lead us in prayer?
Our gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word.